Lord, we just want to ask you that as we read your word, that your anointing will be upon the reading of it, the speaking of it, the hearing of it. Impart to our hearts, we pray, your word, we pray, so that it may change us and accomplish all your purposes for every one of us individually and for us as a church. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, reading from verse 1.
After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I shall be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Well, those of us who have been away this weekend at the Moses, the young adults, 55 of us, we were looking at the book of Moses, and I was speaking about this first 9 verses under the heading of entering the land. And for every one of us, individually, there is an inheritance in Christ for us to possess. And indeed for us as a church, or the churches that you particularly represent, there is an inheritance, there are purposes, there is a will of God for every one of us. And God's desire is that we should enter into that land. And this book of Joshua is divided up into 2 sections. The first 12 verses are to do with the conquest of the land, entering the land, and the various battles that are fought, the various issues that they have to deal with. Chapter 10 is a summary of the conquest of the southern bit of the promised land. Chapter 11, the first 15 verses of the north of the land. And then the final bit of chapter 11 until the end of chapter 12 is the summary of the conquest. Then the latter part of the book, chapter 13 till the end of chapter 22, is to do with the allocation of the land. Everybody in their particular area and where they're going to live. It's tremendous that actually God's purposes for us, in a sense, are different. There are, of course, there are principles and similarities, but God's purposes for every one of you are different. God has allocated something to you that is absolutely unique. You are not a carbon copy of the person sitting next to you. Praise the Lord for that. And you're certainly not a carbon copy of a preacher. And then chapter 22, finally, there are three of the tribes, two and a half of them, that have chosen to live the other side of the Jordan, which the Lord allowed them to do. Actually, that was never God's intention for Reuben, Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh to do that. And, you know, there is a time, if we choose second best, actually God allows us to have that. So I just flag that up as a warning to you. You know, don't be content with second best. If God allocates something for you, say, well, actually, Lord, I'd rather not do that. If you don't mind, I'll just sort of stop short a little bit. Don't say that to the Lord. Enter the land. Enter the fullness of what God has for you. And then in the last two chapters of the book, Joshua's farewell address and death. Well, these first nine verses give us principles of how to enter the land. And the things that we covered very briefly, forgive me, young adults, but just for the sake of those who weren't there and therefore couldn't have the blessing of it. The first principle we looked at in verse 2 is Moses, my servant, is dead. There needs to be a realization that there has to be an end of certain relationships, an end of a certain season. We must stop going, we must stop looking backwards and stop going around in a desert wilderness for our lives, for the rest of our lives, and rather enter into what the Lord has for us. And then we looked at what it meant to cross over the Jordan, which is to do with being identified with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and to experience what it really is to live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And there are some principles that came out in Joshua chapter 3 when they do actually cross over the Jordan. And then we looked at the possibility of victory. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you. And as part of that, we saw that this is not automatic. Entering the land isn't automatic. The children of Israel couldn't just go in and claim territory. And you and I cannot simply claim anything from God. We have to go in to what the Lord gives us, and we inherit it in his way and in his timing and with his strategy. These things are very important. And we looked at an example of what happened in with Ai when the children of Israel said effectively that they would go up and take the city and they were defeated. And Joshua said, Lord, that what you said in verse 3 and verse 5 hasn't happened to us. What's gone wrong? So the possibility of victory is there, but we need to deal with anything in our lives that hinders that victory. Otherwise, there'll be defeat. And that's the lesson of Joshua chapter 7, the story of Achan. So, moving on today, just want to touch on a few other principles in these verses to do with how to enter the land. Probably three, and some of them are related. So, first of all, verse 6. Well, actually, let's read halfway down verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Wonderful promise. Of course, some Christians sort of claim that as a kind of an automatic assumption. Oh, well, God is with me. No, the promise is given to Joshua here because he is somebody who's wholehearted and he's going to enter the land. And so the promise is really God saying to him, and I would think to every one of us, I will be with you in your inheriting everything that I have for you. As you go into what I have for you in Christ, he says, I will be with you. Isn't that tremendous? Isn't it tremendous? Verse 9, therefore the implication comes here. Because the Lord says, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the first thing I want to say is that because of the Lord's promise to be with us, he says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Now some of you may be a bit heart in mouth as to what the Lord has for you. Maybe, again, if I can just speak to some of you younger ones, because you've got the whole of your life ahead of you. And maybe you've begun to sense what the Lord has got for you. Maybe you haven't, and it wouldn't surprise me if you hadn't. But you are concerned, you're worried. Well, what happens if the Lord wants me to be single? Oh. What happens if the Lord wants me to live in Africa? Or somewhere else, and you don't want to do that. The implications of these things, and so your heart is filled with fear. Basically, you're saying, you're putting a limit to what the Lord has for you. You're saying, I'll only go into God's purposes as long as certain criteria are fulfilled. My friends, the Lord says, don't be afraid. And the reason he says that is because it says in Romans 12, verse 2, that the will of God, for which read, the purpose of God, the land, the promised land, if you like, is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will, God's purpose for every one of us is intrinsically good. It is acceptable. That means it suits you. So if going to Africa won't suit you, you won't be sent there. If being married doesn't suit you, and it doesn't suit some, God will not want you to be married. And if you insist on being married, heaven help you. And the opposite, of course. His will is good and acceptable and perfect. That is to say, it is absolutely fulfilling. It will complete you. And I'm sorry, I don't want to go on about this, but I remember hearing the testimony of a single lady who had a ministry to women and to young people. And her testimony was, as a single person, she says, the will of God for me to be single was absolutely fulfilling. Tremendous. So my friends, the first thing is, do not fear. God isn't going to lead you down some blind back alley. God isn't going to put you somewhere where you are not personally going to be fulfilled. He has made you. He has created you. He has the best plan for your life. Trust him, therefore, to fulfill it. And you'd be safer not to take it into your own hands. Let the Lord direct your life. Let the Lord show you his will for your life. Submit your aspirations. Submit your ambitions. Submit your longings to him. Let the Lord bring you into the fulfillment of his will and of his purpose. Yes, it may be costly at times, but it will be fulfilling and it will be glorifying to him, and you will fulfill the very reason that God has brought you into existence. So he says, do not fear. My friends, 366 times in the Bible it says, fear not. That's one for every day of the year plus a leap year. Isn't that good? Do not fear. Now friends, we have to choose to obey that. Fear is something, or it can be, it's not always, I have to correct myself, but it can be something that you choose to obey, alright? You have to choose not to fear. And the scripture says that we are to choose, rather, the fear of the Lord. So those times when you are balking at the purpose of God, you need to take yourself in hand and say, the scripture says, don't fear. Why? Because God is with you. That's the thing. He's not leaving you to enter this land and fight the battles and face the difficulties, etc. on your own. He's with you in it. Oh, cheer up. He is. Fear not, he says, for I am with you. And very much linked with that. He says at the end of verse 9, do not be dismayed. Somebody said this once, and I think it's probably very true. that there are two major weapons that the enemy uses for every believer. Number one is fear. So if he comes, you know, with this sudden fear, there's a proverb that says, do not fear sudden fear. That's where the choice comes in. So choose not to give in to that sudden fear. So that is a strategy of the enemy. And the second one is discouragement. Don't be dismayed. I mean, that's what dear Joshua had to face when when there was defeat at Ai at the beginning. And some of them even lost their lives. And they were defeated. And he fell down on his face and said, Lord, why is this happening? And sometimes things happen to us and we say, oh God, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? But my friends, the Lord says, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Again, I'm with you. And if there are reasons why there's a setback, the Lord will show you. If there are lessons that you need to learn from the setback, the Lord will give you the lessons. He will teach you. So don't be discouraged. Recognize where fear and discouragement, and if I can add another one, unbelief. Recognize where these three things come from. Don't tolerate them. Don't allow yourself to be discouraged and think, oh, life's just awful at the moment. I can't possibly do this. Don't be unbelieving and think, oh, God's let me down. He said, I'm with you. So recognize where these three things come from, fear and discouragement, which are mentioned here in verse 9, and unbelief, and don't give them any truck in your life. Otherwise, friend, you won't enter the land. That's what I'm saying. So the Lord's word, I think, at least to some of you, is do not fear. And that's a tremendous encouragement to you, reassurance. Don't fear. I'm with you. I will lead you. I will show you the strategy. And then secondly, it's very much linked to that command, do not be afraid. Verse 6 says this, be strong and of a good courage. Actually, just before we look at that, one other thing to point out to you about this matter of fear. And again, it's an encouragement to us because the scripture is very honest with us. Joshua had a problem with fear. So that should come as an encouragement to you if you have a problem with fear. So that is why in Deuteronomy, the previous book, chapter 31 and verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said to him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you will cause them to inherit it. So that for the first time, the Lord says through Moses, specifically to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Actually, it wasn't just to Joshua. Look at the previous verse, verse 6. He speaks to all the people, be strong and of a good courage. So I'm not bringing this word to just those of you who may aspire to Christian leadership and ministry, as I trust that some of you at least will do that. But I am speaking to you all. We all need to learn this lesson about being strong and of a good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid, for the Lord your God, he it is that goes with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Very much the same words that you find in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. But in Deuteronomy 31, again, at the end, near the end of the chapter, verse 23, he gave Joshua, the son of Nun, a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage. Why did he repeat himself? I think it's because Joshua needed to hear the message again. Be strong and of a good courage. You shall bring the children of Israel to the land, into the land which I swear to them, and I will be with you. There it is again. And so the Lord then says to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1, three times he says, be strong and of a good courage. Verse 6, verse 7, and verse 9. Three occasions. Why? Because the Lord needed to get this message through to Joshua. Joshua, be strong. You don't need to fear. You can be strong. So, my friends, this is the second thing. And I think it's wonderful. Joshua took this word to heart. And how do we know that? It's because in chapter 10 and verse 25, he then says to the people, Joshua said to them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, be strong and of a good courage. Thus the Lord shall do to all your enemies against whom you fight." You know, isn't it tremendous when God takes a man or a woman with a weakness, with a vulnerability, and he deals with them, brings them out through the other side, and then begins to use them to deal with the very same problem that they had. It's wonderful. Think of a man like Peter. What was his weakness? Well, he had plenty of them. But what did he particularly do? Well, he denied the Lord Jesus. What a terrible thing to do. He denied the Lord. But the Lord dealt with him, the Lord forgave him, and then on the day of Pentecost, he could stand up and say to the whole of the people, "You denied the Holy One." Not because he was a superior person. No, he'd done it himself. He knew exactly what it was to deny the Lord. But he was able to say, "You've done it too. And the same God who dealt with me and forgave me and cleansed me is the same God who can save you." Friends, do not be alarmed. Do not worry about your weakness or your vulnerability. If you let God deal with that, he will bring you right through and you'll be able to be an instrument in his hands to deal with the very weakness in somebody else. Hallelujah. You're very quiet this morning. Be strong and of a good courage. This is a command, friends. Be strong. A little bit of a Hebrew lesson for you. This word in Hebrew is chazak. There's a man, as a king in the Old Testament, whose name means God is strong. Hezekiah. Chazak. Hezekiah. Same word. It means to literally to fasten upon or to seize hold. I think this is great. So, you know, if you're the sort of person who's sitting there and you're hearing this word, be strong, and you're saying, "Well, that's all very well, but how do I be strong? Naturally, I don't feel like it." What does it mean to be strong? I mean, physically, we know exactly what it means to be strong. I mean, if somebody says to you, "You need to be stronger," they send you to the gym, don't they? Or do something else. You know, it's fairly obvious. Spiritually, how can I be strong? Well, it means to seize hold or to fasten yourself. And so, my friend, if we're going to enter the purposes of God, you need to fasten yourself to the Lord. You need to hold fast to him, like a limpet does to a rock. And in my experience, if a limpet holds onto a rock for a particular length of time, it becomes part of the rock itself. And you can't tell the difference between the limpet and the rock. Why my experience? Because I've trodden over rocks. You miss the limpet and you get scratched. The limpets are there. They're part of the whole thing. Fasten yourself to the Lord. That's what it is to be strong. It's a heart attitude. It's not a question of what you do. It's a question of seizing hold of the Lord. The spiritual equivalent, forgive me, of super glue. If you've got two things and they've broken that and you want to repair them and you use a bit of super glue, the new bond is stronger than the original. My friends, you may have been broken in your relationship to the Lord in some way. There may need to be a repair job. Be strong. Let the Lord cling to you and you cling fast to him. Cleave fast to him. Be like that limpet. Actually, there are so many commands, so many times in the Old Testament and the New Testament when the Lord says, "Be strong," and we really haven't got time to look at them all. But they have different kind of meanings or different applications, of which I'm just giving you one. And it's not just to Joshua. Let me give you one reference from the top of my head. Isaiah 41, verse 10, speaking to the people of Israel, "Fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you," the Lord says. And that's great. The Lord doesn't just simply say, "Be strong, seize hold of me." He says, "I will strengthen you." He says, "I will lay hold of you. I will fasten myself to you." This is great, isn't it? It doesn't depend on just you being a limpet. The rock will cling to you. That's one reference. But there are other words that have got different kind of meanings. Like there's one that means the ability to bring to fruition or to bring to completion. There's one that does literally mean might or force or strength in that sense. And when you come to the New Testament, you get exactly the same thing. Now, here is a scripture that combines three of those meanings of strength. And they all have application for us as New Testament believers. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. There's no need to turn to it. Some of you will know it well. If you don't, I suggest you commit it to memory. Finally, my brethren, be strong, that's the first word, in the Lord and in the power, there's the second word, of his might, there's the third word. And there are three different words in the Greek and they have a different meaning. So be strong in the Lord and in the power, there is the strength of God to bring us to completion, to enable us to enter fully into the purposes of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The might of God that is able to deal with anything that the enemy may throw at you. That's why he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The Lord is able to deal with anything of the opposition that may come from the enemy himself. And the Lord's strength is able to deal with your own flesh as well. He's able to deal with us. Hallelujah. But my friends, the first word, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That word is to do with the ability of God, the power of God to enable us. And that is the word which you find in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, where it talks about Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but you shall receive power, strength, the enabling. The Greek is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. Be enabled, if you like. You will receive the enabling of God. Where does this particular strength come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit being poured out upon us. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the disciples. My friends, the Holy Spirit, God wants to pour out his Holy Spirit upon you. Because he says, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is that initial filling. My friends, if you are going to be strong in the Lord, you are going to need the equipping and the enabling of God. You are going to need to know the power of God, to learn how to conquer, to deal with the powers of darkness. You're going to need the power of God, the might of God, to deal with your own flesh. And you're going to need to know what it is to be continually filled with the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is a command. The command to Joshua as well. Be strong. So can I ask you, just throw this out. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Have you been equipped? You can be. And frankly, without the equipping of the Lord, you will not enter fully into the purposes of God. There will be a limit. That's why the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, I've got such great purposes for you. I'm paraphrasing it. I've got such great purposes for you. I want you to be my witnesses to Judea, to Jerusalem, and to the ends of the earth. I beg your pardon, Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. But I cannot send you out until you have received power from on high. There's a limit. Do not fear. Be strong. Linked with that, be of a good courage. That means to be alert, to be awake. Jesus said, watch and pray. My friends, if we're going to enter into the good things that the Lord has for us, we need to be alert. Time is moving on. Let us move on to the next thing. The third main thing I wanted to say to you, which is in verse 7. and 8. It's to do with getting into the Word of God. If we're going to enter the good things that God has for us, we need to observe to do. We need to be careful. That's verse 7. That means we need to be circumspect about the things of God. We need to be careful to do everything that the Lord gives us to do. Friends, we need to get into the scriptures for ourselves. And verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, that's a very interesting word, isn't it? I mean, what do you do with books? Usually you read them. But this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Why mouth? Because the word of God alone of any book in the world is meant to be our food. So when it says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, he's saying, I want you to chew on it. I want you to consider it. I want you to meditate on it. And I've said to some of you before, we're in this respect to be like cows. We spend our whole time grazing. And the cow has 3 stomachs. And it just chews and it chews and it chews until the goodness that is in the grass, whatever goodness there is in grass, goes into the cow, passes through each stomach in turn. And if the stomach doesn't like it, doesn't think it's ready to be part of the cow, it'll regurgitate it. So the poor cow has to not only pick up new grass, but it has to regurgitate the old grass again and again and again. Just goes on and chewing. That's what the scripture says here. Meditate in it, day and night. My friend, is your relationship to God a quick 10 minutes in the morning where you read and then that's it? Well, what kind of a chewing is that? It's like a child going to the breakfast table, picking up one bran flake, and then walking out. Sit at the meal, sit at the table, and feed. And don't wolf it down. Chew on it. Consider it. Now, reading is important. You need to read. You need to study. It doesn't say this either. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of the internet, but you shall listen to your favourite preacher day and night. Does it say that? I don't think it does. Be very careful how much you listen to people. Not that necessarily what they say isn't good, it might be very good. But why survive on second-hand food? The Lord says, I want to feed you myself. I want you to learn to chew on the word of God for yourself. I want you to gain the nourishment on it for yourself. Well, if you want any more information about that, please ask me. I've written a very helpful, though I say it myself. No, I've written a leaflet on Bible meditation, and I would commend it to you at least to get you started, because I haven't got time to go into it now. But notice what the scripture says. It said we're to do it day and night. That's not 24 hours a day non-stop. Of course not. But it does mean continually. So yes, have your 10 minutes in the morning, but then consider it throughout the day as well. Develop the practice where you are chewing and chewing and chewing. Any spare moment that you have, just recall the scripture to mind and think about it. Consider it. Say, now Lord, what has this got to do to me? What are you saying to me? How is this going to change my life? What are you showing me about the Lord Jesus? Consider it. Meditate in it day and night. And friends, you do need to be strong. You need to fix your heart to do this. It's not easy. And you'll be distracted by the phone, by other things. But keep at it. And those of you who started it and given up, I encourage you to go back and do it again. Keep doing it. Meditate in the scripture. Only then will you find that you are able to do what it then says is. And we'll finish with this. The results of, in a way, not only this, but of everything that we've looked at so far today, the result of not fearing, the result of being strong and of a good courage, the result of meditating in the Word of God day and night, it says here, then, at the end of verse 8, then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. And there are two things, so I'm going to take the second one first. It says, then you will have good success. I'm reading from the King James. I think the New King James will probably say the same thing. Go back to verse 7. The Lord says to Joshua, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It's the same word. In my margin, it says, you will do wisely. So when the Lord says, if you do these things, you will prosper, you will be successful, he's not saying you're going to gain a six-figure sum financially. He's not saying you're going to have a large house. That's not the kind of prosperity that the Lord is looking for. What kind of prosperity do you want? May I commend to you for your life's goal that you make it the same as Solomon's? He asked for wisdom. And this scripture could be translated like this, and indeed is in my margin, then you will do wisely. Friends, if you grasp hold of these principles, you will enter into the purposes of God and you will do wisely. Wisdom will characterize your life. And that's what the Lord wants for you. Not only that, but in the first part of verse 8 it says, then you will make your way prosperous. And that word means literally to strike forward, to move on. And friends, that is really the burden of the Lord's heart for every one of you. He wants you to move on. He wants you to progress. He doesn't want you to stay stuck where you are. If you are stuck in that wilderness, it may not be a wilderness, it may be a very pleasant place. But if you're stuck there and it's not where the Lord wants you to be, and he wants you to move on from there into something else, friends, move on. Will you say to the Lord this morning, and we'll conclude with this, will you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to move on with you. I want to enter everything that you have for me. Will you say that to the Lord? Is that what you want? Don't have to answer me. Only you know your own heart, and the Lord does. But if that's what you want, say to the Lord, Lord, I want to go on with you. I want to do wisely. I want to progress in my life. I want to inherit everything that you have for me. And make it a particular prayer. If any of these things that we've looked at this morning, or over the weekend, if you were with us, make those specific things. If it's a matter of fear, bring it to the Lord. If it's a matter of needing courage, strength, bring that to the Lord. But go on with the Lord, I encourage you. Don't hold back. Don't mark time. Don't be on a spiritual merry-go-round. Go round in circles. Go on with the Lord. It's worth it. It really is. Not only in this life, but in the time, in the life to come, you will be given a reward. Hallelujah. If you can't say hallelujah to that, I don't know what else you can do. Let's pray.